The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman. And this is this June 1st? It is. Yes.
It is.
Wow. Can you believe
it? And that May's gone.
Another month down the pike. All right. Well, you heard the voice, the disemboweled
voice.
Yes. It's my co-host, the one and only David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Yay. Beautiful day. Beautiful, sunny.
You know, I got to tell you something. Today is the bike race, and it is difficult to get around Philly today.
I'm telling you, I'm not a biker, and I was cursing bikers this morning. But
yeah, every street on the way to the radio station was closed down.
Crazy.
Well, if you're going to go out and enjoy it, it is a beautiful day to enjoy a bike race. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Living right off of the Kelly Drive makes it an easy jaunt to go
I'm surprised you're here because at 6:45 was the they let the amateurs you could ride any your buggy or whatever you
have a commitment to Court Radio. and that comes before anything.
Oh, okay.
On Sundays anyway from 7 to 8. So if you're got a legal question, we got answers for you for sure. 215-227-2727 gets you into the studio. For this hour, rest of the week, it gets you down to the office where my crack team of lawyers and assistants will help you. But right now, it's me, 215-227-2727. David, we're joined in the studio by my friend Joel Austin. Good morning, Joel. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. You know, you always make me smile. You got that right demeanor for the job you have.
I got my tricycle outside. I'm ready for the race as well.
Little baseball cards on it.
Joel is, you are like the chief executive officer of Daddy University. Would you tell us, what is Daddy University?
Daddy University is a male parenting company. We teach fathers how to become better fathers.
Teach fathers how to become better fathers. That's always good. You know, I think fatherhood is underrated, but this week, for some reason, that's all I see are stories. I got Esquire magazine, did a whole spread on fatherhood. Everybody's talking fatherhood.
Father's Day coming up.
We're a few weeks away. All right. So are fathers important in kids' lives?
Absolutely, positively. I don't think there's anything much better than that. I think we're on an equal basis, but fathers are important in every aspect of a child's life.
Do you find that fathers are still getting kind of short shrift in the legal system?
In the legal system, I would say yes, because of the maternal factor.
Uh-huh.
So we do a lot of things around mediation, support, custody, trying to get an equality, of course. And some states have already changed to some shared equal parenting.
You know, most of what I do is personal injury litigation, medical malpractice, and also traumatic injuries. But when I was a younger attorney, I did some domestic relations. And I even, back 15, 20 years ago, I recall a client who I represented, a dad who was able to get full custody of his child at that time. It's not impossible. I don't want men to have the impression that they might not even try because of this maternal factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've worked with guys who have gotten custody?
I have guys in my group that have full custody. I have widows in my group, and I have divorcees in my group that have gotten full custody. It is possible. In shared custody, I have shared custody in my group. It is possible, but you have to try. There's some things that the courts need to change, some policies. There's also some things that guys need to change. Mostly, they got to get a little bit more organized, Dean.
Right. Yeah.
Not on a pencil, not paper, not napkin, but you need to write down some of the things that you're doing and some of the things that you are trying to do. And do a little research.
Yep. If you come prepared, you got a better shot at anything, prepared. So anyway, in that regard, you're here today because next week your annual, this is the showcase for Daddy University. What's going on next week?
The ninth annual National Fatherhood Conference, featuring guest speakers, State of the Union address, workshops. We have a boys conference, health fair. It is on June the 7th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And I have a great, great speaker talking about his own personal story of being a father. His name's Dean Weitzman is going to be there. It is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. And it's absolutely free.
Did you know that Dean Weitzman I've got a six-month-old baby. I figured, you know what? It was so much fun the first time around. I'm going to try this one more time. And it has been wonderful. So I come with some recent experience as well as some old head experience. So it is next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
What time the doors open?
Doors open at 8 a.m. Breakfast is going to be served at 8 a.m.
Breakfast,
the State of the Union address, which you will be a part of, starts at 9 to 11. It's really when we get a lot of certified people, important people. Some judges are coming. We're going to talk person to
person. That's after Dean talks, right? The important people and the certified people.
There you go. I know you hadn't talked for too long.
Yeah,
getting edgy there.
Had to get that
Mr.
There.
Rappaport.
We're talking about some laws, some new laws, some what to do in the coming future about equality and justice and being able to become a better parent in what you do.
All right, we're going to come back to you in one second. We got a caller who called in, so let's grab a question. We have Shelly from Philadelphia on line 4. Hey, Shelly, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine, thanks, and we appreciate your call. What's your question, Shelly?
Okay, I'm going to try to make it as brief as possible. Okay, basically, I was driving with this truck company for 2 weeks, and first week I hit a rearview mirror of the car, with the company tractor trailer. And then I gave the insurance information. My boss knew about it. The second week, I'm coming to the Illinois, and I live in Philadelphia. I'm coming to Illinois to drop the paperwork so I can get my check. And as I'm coming to the job, somebody hit the tractor trailer in front of my job. And my boss fired me and said he won't pay me. Can I sue that my employer?
Okay. Well, first of all, you're an more likely than. Did you have a contract of employment?
Yeah. Yes.
When I say a contract, I mean that there's a document that says they're going to hire you for a certain period of time, 1 year, and they're going to pay you a certain amount of money for that year. It's a contract for a term of employment. Yes, or maybe
yes.
Not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I did the whole W-2s and all that stuff.
Okay. So when you have a contract, everything, all those questions, those great questions you have, we're going to be guided by the terms of the contract. So what you can be fired for, when you can be fired, what kind of notice you need to be given, all of those items need to be. You need to look to the contract for the answers to those questions. And so what your best bet is to give us a call tomorrow, fax us over the contract, let us take a look at it, and we'll let you know whether, you know, under those terms of the contract, you're going to have a fighting chance to make a claim on this case. I will also say, and you didn't mention this, but if you were injured in that second loss, because it sounded like you were actually in the tractor at that time, if you were injured in that and unable to do your job, then you potentially have a workers' compensation claim. And again, that's something that, you know, you can certainly raise with and talk with us during the week. But if you have a workers' compensation claim, then there can't be a retaliatory firing. In other words, if they fired you because they didn't want to get a workers' comp claim against their workers' comp carrier, then that could get them jammed up in a lot of trouble, and it certainly will bode well for you and for your claim. So those are the types of areas that I'd look at during the week. Give us a call tomorrow morning, 215-227-2727, exactly where you called today, and we'll jump on it. We'll bring you in. We'll interview you. There's no cost or charge for the first consultation, and if we think we can help you, we'll talk about terms at that point.
I'll get a lawyer, or you could be my lawyer then.
Oh,
my God, that's great.
See, not
maybe.
Only.
Oh, my God.
Maybe.
You're a lifesaver. Because,
maybe.
And then I have another person that I want to sue for not paying, but there was no contract. Well, it was verbal contract. It was a a friend of mine, who we're not friends anymore, before I was working with this employee, employer, a friend of mine wanted me to help, well, not help, basically work with him to drive the tractor trailer.
Shelly, Dean will sue everyone.
I was hired through his company.
Shelly,
Dean will sue everyone.
Shelly, we have a rule here on Court Radio, and I hate to do this because you're going to be.
I'm sorry, it's only one question. Okay, thank you so much. I'm sorry.
Wow, Shelly, she knows.
She knows.
She tried to. That's even worse. Yeah. She knew and she tried to sneak it in. That's a worse infraction.
All right,
no T-shirt for Shelly.
Shelly's done, but we'll see her tomorrow. And Joel is back to tell us how do I get, if I'm a dad and I want to, or a grandpa and I want to come and hang out with men and have breakfast and listen to Dean, how do I get to go there?
Dean, the entire conference is free. Breakfast is free. Lunch is free. We even have child care.
Hold on. David's getting in line now.
Lunch is free. Breakfast was sort of got me, but lunch too? Okay.
You can register at www.9father.eventbrite.com. You can register yourself. You can register your friends. Hopefully, some of your cousins. Come on.
I got to work on a different URL for you for
Wait,
next
nine
year.
9fathereventbrite.com.
B-R-I-G-H-T? Yes.
No.
B-R-I-T-E.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure people know. Eventbrite. B-R-I-T-E.
Eventbrite.
Okay.
Did I mention the health fair, Dave?
You just were mentioning it, and I rudely interrupted your spiel. So.
I was
ahead.
Just saying
health
that
fair.
For you, that you need to go to the doctor or anything.
I,
was just
I do?
No, I didn't say that.
Do I look like I need to go to a... I'm healthy.
Healthy.
Yeah. But I will go. I'll come anyway.
All right. One more time on the URL.
www.9fathereventbrite.com. And afterwards, we have the daddy daughter dance, if you're interested.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
9eventbrite.com.
Nine father eventbrite.com. Nine father dot eventbrite.com.
See? Dot. Wow. There's two dots in there.
You are never going to get a soul to remember that. Not one soul on the radio
today.
Yeah,
I don't know how you got that URL,
nobody in America could remember that except you.
I remember it. Ninefather.eventbrite.com.
Wow.
Awesome.
Nine father dot. Eventbrite.com. All right.
The whole event is free.
It just takes every bit of your energy just to remember the URL. So if you could do that, you deserve to go for free.
Or you can call us at 610-579-DADS.
Oh, Lord, that's so
I thought
much
it was
going to
be like 732, you know, like 15 numbers.
Okay, 610-979.
610-579.
Okay.
D-A-D-S.
610-579-DADS. All right? 610-579-DADS. Get it, call it, come next week for free, eat, and be merry. Joel, it's always great to see you, brother.
Thank you,
Dean. All right. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we're going to be back in 2 minutes with some other action on Court Radio and taking your calls, 215-227-2727.
Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome back to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my co-host, David Rappaport.
Hello.
And it is June the 1st. Beautiful day. There's a bike race going on in Philly. Make sure you watch where you're going and come out and support the race. We're going to grab a quick question before we get going, David. Let's talk to Jose from Delaware, as in that little state to our south. Jose, welcome to Court Radio. Hey, how are you, bud?
I'm okay, sir. Here's my question for you. I'm applied for disability. I've got denied twice. Now they're telling me that I have to go before a review judge. And in the state of Delaware, that there are only two. And they can take up to anywhere between a year and a half, 2 years to see this review judge. Due to my medical situation, which is getting worse, and possibly surgery, I'm trying to figure out how can I expedite this review board or seeing this judge, if possible.
Well, let me ask you, the first question that comes to my mind is, do you have counsel in Delaware? Do you have an attorney who's representing you?
No, I do not.
Okay, so the first thing that you need to do is you need to get yourself an attorney. Now, this is I just want to be clear. This isn't a workers' comp case. This is a disability for Social Security, federal disability?
Correct.
Okay. You need to give us a call. I hate to keep putting people off, but I mean, the first two callers, David, needed representation is really what they need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jose, you need to give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. We'll get you a Delaware attorney who's going to be able to represent you on your disability claim. And if there's a way to expedite it, I'm sure the attorney will handle that. And but you really should have representation. I mean, that's the lesson to be learned from all the other listeners that are listening to your question today, is that you've gone alone on this process too long. And, it's better to have counsel. And counsel on Social Security matters typically take a percentage. They work on a contingent fee, so it's not going to cost you anything out of pocket per se. And then if they're successful, they take a piece of your claim at the end, not forever, but just whatever lump sum monies are due you at the time that you get your first check. Take a piece of that.
It's pretty much necessary, though. I mean, you would agree with me, Dean, that a high percentage are denied the first time. I mean,
absolutely.
And certainly if you do it yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to almost guaranteed to be denied. And, if you're denied a second time, there's obviously an issue that you might be missing.
Right.
That you need to address.
So, and it sounds like also that you have some upcoming medical conditions, with some upcoming surgeries that may change your circumstances. So, you may be eligible now, but you weren't before. But again, you really need an attorney. So give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727, and we'll get you hooked up. All right, Jose?
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Take care. Yeah, it's surprising how many people are scared to go to an attorney. We certainly make it fun here on Court Radio, don't we? I mean, you know, it's all fun.
We might not know what we're doing, but hey, it's fun anyway.
Yeah, well, we have in the studio right now.
Yes, we have special guests.
Two special guests. Well, not one, two. This facility is so special that they needed to send two people out today. we're joined in the studio by Dr. Guy Fried. Welcome to Court Radio.
Welcome. Thank you.
He's the chief medical officer, and Venus Bradley is the manager of the Resource Center, both from my favorite rehab, McGee Rehab.
In Philadelphia.
Yes.
Good morning. You want to say good morning, Venus?
Good morning,
there
and
you
thank
go.
You for
there
having
she
us
is.
This morning.
There you are. Now you're a part of the action.
Yeah, we truly appreciate what you bring us on a weekly basis. I mean, it's the conversations you have, the battering back and forth, the humor, the legal advice. You guys bring a vital service to us.
Well, thanks, Guy. Thank you.
And you certainly do much, you know, your service is much more necessary, I think, and important than
well,
what we do.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's
you know,
talk
McGee,
about it.
McGee Rehab has a wonderful reputation as being a premier rehab facility in Philadelphia for all kinds of catastrophic injuries. And you've been doing this for how long, Dr. Fried?
I've been doing it for just about 30 years.
Wow. You know, I recognized Dr. Fried when he came in that you've served as an expert in one of our cases, and I can't tell you which one, probably, I'm not allowed to probably tell you which one, but you find yourself kind of in that mix between providing medical care, but then also providing services to the court to explain what's going on with your patients in probably a myriad of circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, what we do at McGee is we take care of various injuries. So we take care of very catastrophic injuries to more minor injuries, and it's our goal to get people their lives back, pretty much to get them back up on their feet, get them around, get them back to work, get them whatever it takes. Sometimes they can do that. Sometimes they can't. Everyone is usually better off at the end of their rehab stay, whether it's an inpatient stay or an outpatient stay. We do what we can. And sometimes the interaction is with the legal system of looking at it to the extent that someone has a lawsuit out there. Basically, we are educating and teaching either a jury or just helping to talk to an attorney to just say precisely what is the damage, what has happened, and what are the future things that, as a result of an injury, are going to come about.
Yeah, I mean, let's not belittle it that a lot of the reason for that is that a lot of this care, especially in the catastrophic end, is extremely expensive. You have special wheelchairs, special apparatus, all sorts of things.
It is devastating.
Yeah.
It is catastrophic, and no one realizes what the costs are, that to the extent that someone was able-bodied and all of a sudden either can't work or they can't move around or they need help in the house or they have some issue that requires future surgeries, the options are open to everything that could happen, and the usual person just doesn't know that. So as a physician, the usual physician may not realize
that.
Right, right. You know, so it's what we do.
We've become a very specialized world, and especially professionals as well, so that we focus on our area. And I'm referring to like family doctors and the folks who kind of take care of the colds and the frontline physicians aren't necessarily going to understand how best to care for somebody who has a catastrophic injury.
Most of our referrals are from the primary care docs or the primary surgeons, and then the surgeons do wonderful God's work. They put them back together, but then they're not necessarily able to get up and around. That's when they're coming to McGee as an inpatient or an outpatient, so we can take them to the next step to return them back to as much life as we can. And it is very specialized, so it's pretty much all we do at McGee is working with people who are banged up in some way and trying to get their lives back.
I wonder, I'm assuming that you use a team approach, because even when you've got, let's say, an orthopedic injury, you don't have an ability to walk or ambulate properly, that affects so many areas of one's life.
Absolutely. It is absolutely a team approach, and everyone will have a different set, a personalized set of team built for them. So they may need physical therapy to learn how to walk or to strengthen some muscles, occupational therapy to use their arms better, to use their functions better. Some need psychology. Some need the case management skills. Some will need speech therapy. And we offer all sorts of things of horticulture therapy, art therapy. So just because people are reached by different methods, not everyone just can have one type of a therapist reaching them. So we try from all approaches to heal someone from the inside out and from the outside in.
What's the average stay of somebody who is an inpatient at McGee? How long are they there for?
26 days. Yeah. The average length of stay is 26 days.
Right up to that microphone.
The average length of stay is 26 days.
Okay.
So that can be very variable from just a few days to a couple of months.
Yeah. And during that stay, does the family members of the patients get involved?
We always get the family members involved, the families, the friends, anyone who wants to get involved to help, just because patients have these injuries, and sometimes the patients honestly know them better than their doctors or better than anyone else. They have that injury cold. The doctors may know all injuries better, but if they have a specific injury, they know what makes them better, they know what makes them worse. And it's a matter of educating the families of how to protect them. It may be protecting their skin, their nutrition, helping control their pain, helping them in some way. So it's a group approach to heal them. And then once they're done, families are definitely invited and friends are definitely invited to come in and learn. These are the tricks we learned about your loved one to help them out.
Very good.
As a part of that, I just want to add that we have our patient resource center located at McGee as well, where we help to build health literacy for every one of our patients so that they can access the information pertaining to their injury so that they can work better with their doctor and asking relevant questions to help get them the best outcomes with their injury.
Very good. Very good. Let's talk. We're going to intersperse some callers because that's what we do here. So let's talk to Mr. Gabriel from Philadelphia, who's got a medical negligence question. Hi, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
Yes, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay. As I said to her, it's been 24 and something years since there was a mistake on my wife's pregnancy.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
We were in Brooklyn.
Did you say 24 years?
Yeah, did you say it's been 24 years since the mistake?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so it's been 24 years. But I don't mean to cut you off, but there's a lot of people calling, and there's going to be a quick answer. We have a statute of limitations. Statutes of limitations, even though you might have had a valid claim, statutes of limitation cut off the ability to pursue a claim after X amount of years. And it depends where. Sometimes your statute of limitations can be as long as, I think, maybe 6 years of direct statute of limitations. I think Michigan might have like a 6-year statute of limitations. Pennsylvania has a 2-year. New York, a 3-year. But New Jersey, a 2-year statute. But if you get beyond that, and the only other exception is if it's a child. If it's a child, then it can be as much as 20 years, although most jurisdictions around the country are shrinking that. But in Pennsylvania, still, if you have a claim for a child and the child, let's say the claim happens when the child is born, that claim will freeze until the child's 18 and then will go for 2 years. So it's till the child's 20th birthday, theoretically. But beyond 20 years and it involving a child, David, there's no statute in that I can think of that would go beyond that.
No, and as you were saying, you're mentioning exceptions. The only exception that we're aware of is what we call the discovery rule. That's if you didn't know and had no reason to know that there was a problem. But even that can only extend so far. After a certain number of years, it's almost a given that there's something, some event that should have occurred that you would have had reason to know that something was wrong. In other words, obviously, if the injury is lingering, there's an issue. And you can't let it go for 15 years or 16 years before you decide to do something.
Right. Now, as a prime example of that, I tell clients about a case I represented somebody on who had surgery. 7 years later, they got deathly sick. and came to find out after going back into the hospital that the doctor on the original surgery 7 years earlier had left a sponge in their abdominal cavity. And that sponge slowly but surely irritated and eventually perforated their bowel. And they became, you know, almost they almost died. The infection that raged in their body. Well, they had no clue for 7 years that this time bomb was ticking, and that statute of limitations was frozen until the day she went into surgery and found out.
Unusual, obviously.
It is unusual, but Dean handles the unusual sometimes. All right. Anyway, thank you, sir, for giving us a call about the statute of limitations. Now, let's get back to our guests.
Yes, I want to make one. We were recently at the, I guess it's the annual fundraiser that McGee has.
Yes, it's the Night of Champions.
Right, and what I was moved by, struck by, one of the things, there was many things, is how many people attended it who have been involved. And I'm not talking about workers at McGee, but just people who donate and give their time. For years, I mean decades, they've been involved with McGee. And that raised the question in my mind, obviously McGee needs money to operate, and you need a lot of money because of the work that you do. I'm sure some of it comes from people who have insurance. Some of it comes from people who donate. Are there any other, I mean, I guess you get some government grants as well, or no? Mm-hmm.
There'll be some government grants. I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up. If you had a look at the largest pile, it's pretty much the insurance that they have, but the insurance really never covers services. I mean, we're offering art therapy and horticulture therapy, therapies that are not recognized by insurance. So we're giving it to patients because they need it, not because we're being reimbursed for it. So,
which is why I mentioned this, because our listeners should know, I mean, everyone knows McGee. It doesn't operate by itself. You can donate anything, I mean, this is what a great cause to donate to.
Absolutely. I mean, really. It is a wonderful, wonderful organization that you, as you've mentioned, people who are volunteering there or working there go for decades. Yeah. I came to Philadelphia for McGee 30 years ago and never left.
Right, right.
It's a kind of place that just captures you because it's applied church work.
It's a wonderful
place. It's an organization that is just kind of God's work.
And you see results. That's the thing, too, that struck me. It's not just talk. I mean, the people who are at that fundraiser, all the people who've been helped, they had such life in them. They were so happy and functioning despite their disabilities.
You give life, you give reason to be where there was necessarily not a reason to be. There's a reason to go on. There's kind of looking at it and saying, I'm going to make the best of it. We don't necessarily cure anyone. We don't necessarily make anyone whole, but we move forward and try to help them out.
Hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to have hope.
Hope. So somebody's involved in an accident, an automobile accident, and they don't immediately feel pain. Should that person seek the advice or consultation of a doctor nonetheless?
Absolutely. There are multiple problems that are not immediately evident, that if you have a slip and a fall or something, you may feel fine. And frequently people will get up and they'll walk home and they'll be fine. I mean, you need to get yourself checked out.
That burst of adrenaline that happens after an accident that can mask sometimes some serious condition.
Absolutely. And it can sometimes take a couple of days to realize that you can have a serious underlying condition and you really want to address it, because the only way you're going to be able to correct it is by recognizing that it exists.
What's the typical injuries that McGee handles on a day-to-day basis?
Certainly, we handle anything that will injure someone. And, you know, we have work injuries. We've got fall injuries. We have automobile injuries. We have all sorts of recreational injuries. It's summertime. People are getting out there, and they're riding their bicycles or running around. We've got simple injuries. We've got complex injuries.
There may be, God forbid, but there may be some today with that bike race. You never know, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just the nature of athletics.
It never ceases to amaze me, as somebody who sort of deals on the front line with these injuries, how people can get themselves injured.
Yeah.
Most recently, I had a client. He's still a client. We're just getting into his case. He was coming down Black Road, which comes from the Please Touch Museum, down to the MLK Drive on the opposite side. And he slips and falls off of his bike. And along the road, there was a guardrail that was in disrepair. the guardrail was old. It was they don't make it like this anymore, but it was like a 2-3 inch round pipe that went through a wood stanchion, and the pipe was sticking up, pointing towards the roadway. And he fell onto the pipe. The pipe pierced his chest and came out the other side. He was impaled on the pipe. They cut the pipe off on the roadway and brought him to the hospital with a pipe literally sticking through him, and it missed most of the major vital organs. He survived that accident. He's got a lot of problems. He's like working with folks like you, Dr. Fried, but he has survived that. And it's just amazing. I'm sure that you see some horrific accidents and injuries over the course of 30 years at McGee.
Absolutely. I mean, most accidents are individual freak accidents. No one is planning on an injury, and no one is planning to come to McGee ever, but we are filled with patients that have these inadvertent injuries. You're going out and he's just riding the bicycle and gets impaled by essentially a spear through his chest. I mean, no one's planning on that and ending up their afternoon in the emergency room or over at McGee, but it happens all the time. It's freak accidents in the cumulative happen thousands of times a day, and we end up with a lot of those patients.
That's the scary part about life, really, and as a parent, I would think that's a very scary part about being a parent, letting your kids go out and ride a bike, go out and play, whatever. You know, you think, you know, at that point when you're older, that things can happen.
We're smarter as a people. We're wearing helmets more. We're wearing seatbelts more. You know, so we're doing things to be safer, but it still happens. It still happens.
Yeah, absolutely right. It does still happen. I mean, from freak accidents, it can result in a spinal cord injury. You're not expecting to come out today and, you know, have an accident that would lead to a spinal cord injury, a brain injury, or even just some neurological disorder, you know, so that's why you have to come to McGee.
Yeah, and right now we're having the bike race. You know, you don't know. I mean, today could be the day that somebody, God forbid, that they have a fall off their bike. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot. People don't realize falls from height, okay, from the natural height of your body, falls from height unprotected can be devastating. I mean, they can be fatal, but they can also result in extremely catastrophic injuries.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes it's just playing the odds that you fall and it's just in the worst position and it hits you in a way that you bleed into your brain or you sprain a neck or you break an ankle. You may not even realize what goes on, and there can be that adrenaline running where you don't realize, but 2 days later you're having a difficult time moving around or thinking correctly, and it just dawns on you at that point as your loved ones are just telling you you're not the same, and you go back to, well, I didn't realize, but this simple thing happened. Because we all want to minimize what happens. We all want to go on with their lives. No one really wants to go to the emergency room or go to the doctor. It's not pleasant.
No.
You really want to get on with
life. One of the things we see the big thing now, I think, the major talk is concussions in sports. And I see it all the time now in a lot of auto collisions where the hospital will say, head injury, concussion, they just send the person. They don't even give them any instruction on, you know, you need to address this. You need to maybe go to a neurologist just to make sure. They do a CAT scan. When they say don't see any bleeding, they send the person home. But we've learned that concussions don't, you know, you can have severe ones, but you could have mild ones that cause problems, memory problems, things like that.
And it's especially true when you have a concussion, when you've had a prior concussion.
Exactly.
So when you have a history of a concussion, a second, even mild concussion can become a more...
Well, people always think of the one where you hit your head and there's you have to be put into a coma because you're bleeding and there's brain damage and things like that. But even a mild concussion is a form of brain damage, and it needs to be addressed immediately. And I've seen so many people come in that have, an accident happened 2 months ago, I had a concussion, they do nothing.
Okay, we're going to talk to Gwen on line 4 from Philly. Hey, Gwen, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, hi. My name's Dolores Williams. And I was dealing with Sears, right? And they switched and bait on me. And
turn
they
your
had a subcontract that came out to my house.
Okay.
And I didn't get my flooring. I didn't get nothing I wanted. And they charged me $8,047 and some change. So
okay.
I took them to
Hello?
Go ahead. You took them to court. I'm sorry.
I took them to court myself, municipal court.
Uh-huh.
And municipal court, they told them to give me $5,542.26 of my money back. And they didn't want to give me the money back, so they re-impaled it. They went and got a lawyer.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And so when I found my lawyer, it seemed like he did not work for me at all. And at the end, when I was signing the papers, he said, well, you know, that's one of my colleagues. I don't understand that.
Okay.
And then only money I got back was $3,000 and something.
Right, because you probably paid the lawyer 40% of that $5,000, which is the legal fee. And but you raise the whole point of your call, Dolores, and I don't know why I called you Gwen, probably because that's the name that was given to me. But we'll deal. No, Dolores, the reason you called was because you said that your lawyer might have had a conflict of interest because he was friends with the other lawyer. And, I'm friends with a lot of lawyers. But at the end of the day, my only allegiance is to my client. I never cut a deal, and I don't know many lawyers who would do this, never cut a deal that's going to be more favorable to the defense merely because I happen to know the defense from prior cases.
That sometimes helps resolve a case. When you
it
know
does sometimes
other.
Help because, yeah, it sometimes helps. So,
sure.
But if, Dolores, if you could prove that your lawyer sold you a bill of goods or committed fraud and induced you to sign something that you had no intention of signing, you might begin to make a case. Though I'm not advocating that, and I'm telling you that it would be very difficult because a lot of times clients have kind of, you know, sour grapes. They have second thoughts about a settlement. And courts are very, 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 very reluctant to allow settlements to be undone. So I would say the chances are it's not getting undone. But if, like the lawyer said, it was settling for seven and he slid a paper under your nose and had you sign it and it was five, well, that would be a basis for that. But I wouldn't worry too much about the fact that your lawyer knew the other lawyer. I would say that that's probably a common, if you're living long enough, I know most of the lawyers in Philadelphia. It's a small town when it comes to trial counsel. And there's a lot of lawyers, but not a lot of lawyers who do what we do. And so you get to know them, and that's not a bad thing, and it doesn't mean he sold you out. But it does mean that you ended up having, because Sears, you know, dragged you through the muck and mire, and you did the right thing by suing them yourself in MC court. I applaud that. But once they took that appeal, you really didn't have a choice. You had to get counsel involved. And unfortunately, when that happens, a part of your settlement's going to go to the attorney for his fees or her fees. Dolores, thanks for calling Court Radio. I'm sorry that experience didn't work out for you, but if you need counsel in the future, please give us a call. 215-227-2727. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our guests from McGee Rehab right after these announcements.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back to Court Radio. It is Sunday, June the 1st, and a beautiful Sunday it is. What a gorgeous spring Sunday in Philadelphia. A great day to go out and watch the bike race that's just now getting underway. That is, as soon as Court Radio is over. I have Charles from Woodland, PA on line 3. Larry, give us Charles. Charles, welcome to Court Radio. Charles.
How you doing?
Good, thank
you. How you doing?
Oh, we're good. I'm much better now that you've spoken. I thought we were going to have to give you the Heimlich or the Jaws of Life or something, but now that you're talking, I'm feeling great.
I hope not, Mr. Weisberg.
All right, Charles, tell us you're calling about some injury that you had. We got a doctor here, so
well,
it's good for you.
Okay, the situation was the latter part of the winter. I was at the main office of the facility that I live in, and as I came out the door and was walking back toward my car, I slipped and fell. All right. Now, I got up immediately when I fell on the ground. I fell all flat on my back. All right. Now, weeks after that, my back has constantly been hurting. I've been waking up in the morning and bent over. Takes time to get straightened out. And it's just been progressing. Now, at the time, I lived in the government facility, I was a little reluctant at that time to seek legal counseling, and I'm still not sure. But my back pain is constantly persistent. It's getting worse. It's affecting my legs, you know, walking.
Well, more importantly, have you sought medical treatment? Have you sought medical treatment?
That's, well, I have.
Okay.
I have.
That's
seen
most important.
My doctor, like, recently over the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And did they run any tests? I mean, have they given you a diagnosis? Have they given you a treatment plan?
Here at this point, it's like in process. You know, he's setting me up for x-rays.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like you may have sustained an injury just from your description. And I think let me, you know, do injuries, Dr. Fried, do injuries get better over time on their own? Well, I mean, go ahead.
Some simple injuries certainly get better on their own. Serious injuries don't get better on their own and frequently will get worse on its own. So it's not unusual that someone can slip and fall and the adrenaline's running, you're up and around, you're stiff, you kind of shake it off, think it's going to get better. But as you're having the symptoms persist, as they're worsening, you mentioned it's starting to radiate down the legs. That is more indicative of a nerve injury going, pushing up against nerves of a disc or something like that as a result of the fall. So I'm sure your doctor's in that process of working it up and finding out, did you break something? And they start with the x-rays, and they'll probably move to the MRIs or EMGs to find out, is there a more serious nerve injury?
Here, I'm gonna take a shot here, Charles, and make a statement that maybe, you know, Dr. Fried isn't comfortable saying, but not all doctors are created equally, or not all doctors are focused on your type of problem. And what I mean by that is, if you're seeing, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm just throwing it out there because there's, you know, 17,000 other listeners who are listening to this. If you're going to a family doctor, and you know the family doctors, like, you know, they're HMO doctors, they've got capitated patients, they've got 1,000 patients or 10,000, and the phone's constantly ringing, you got trouble getting, you know, and you run there to get, you know, antibiotics because you have some sort of a virus or you get your flu shot there. Those kind of doctors, no offense, because they're the frontline guys and ladies, and we need them, but they may not be that accustomed to dealing with traumatic injuries. They're not board certified physiatrists. They're not doctors who deal with these types of injuries on a regular basis. And I see sometimes patients will go to their quote unquote family doctor, and that may not be the best person to see. We have Venus here too, who's quiet as a church mouse. But I mean,
which is unusual for Venus.
She's, you know, you're running a resource center. Yes. I mean, come on, chime in here. I'm not knocking doctors, but you know, sometimes some medical facilities are better geared for people who have run-of-the-mill colds and coughs and things of that nature, and not somebody who might have, you know, a herniated disc and, you know, with radiating pain. They just don't have the time or inclination to deal with that. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. It's important for any patient who or individual who has any type of injury to get themselves seen by a doctor. And then you need to go out and get and gather as much information as possible about your injury so that you know what steps to take according to that information and what your doctor
now, is Charles, prescribing. Charles, I want you to stand by very carefully now with pencil in hand because we're going to segue. This is perfect segue into Venus, how does somebody get in touch with McGee if they want to come in and get evaluated?
Well, first, I want to tell your listeners that McGee is a one-stop shop. So We offer all kinds of comprehensive services from spinal cord injury, brain injury, stroke, amputation, and pain management, in addition to concussion, what Dave was commenting on earlier. You can contact us at 1-800-96-McGee. To obtain those services.
Well, that's a far cry better than Mr. Austin's URL.
Yeah, right.
What was that again, David? .4.
Jeez, I can't remember.
Nine father.
.eventbrite.
Wow, you got it. .com. Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
but ours is much more
user friendly.
Yes,
yes,
exactly.
What is it again? 800.
1-800-96-McGee. And McGee is spelled M A G E E.
Charles, did you get that?
Yes, M-A-G-E-E.
Right.
9 M-A-G, right.
96.
96, McGee. 96, sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, geez. You just hit me.
Okay, 1-800-96. That was 96 McGee.
I want to just expand one second.
Charles, thanks for calling Court Radio. You check out your health, but by all means, if you feel like you have a claim that you slipped on by the actions of another, through the negligence of another, by all means, give us a call during the week. You know where to find us. 215-227-2727. We'll hook you up, no problem. But give those people at McGee a call and see what your condition is, and then let's talk about the legal issues second. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Thanks for listening, Charles. Go ahead.
But just what you were saying was, I think most people, just to give perspective, you need to be proactive with your own treatment. And I don't know if it's a good idea, as you seem to be suggesting, Dean, or maybe people are taking it, to run out and try and find orthopedic doctors or doctors that you think might be good for your particular medical condition. What you need to do is you go to your primary doctor. They should refer you for a consultation to a specialist if they think there's a problem. But if they don't, that's when you need to be proactive and say to your own doctor, hey, my back's hurting me, you know, maybe you need to refer me to somebody, or do you have someone I could go to who knows about back injuries? Because usually with insurance and things like that, you need to get a referral. We all have been down that road, and we know how that works. So you just need – I think the moral is you need to be proactive with your own treatment. You don't just sit there and let any doctor just tell you what to do, except the people at McGee, because they know what they're doing backwards and forwards. But, you know, you don't let your primary doctor just
excellent
say, here's
advice.
What you do.
Excellent advice,
take
David.
This pill and call me in 5 months, you know, that kind of thing. You can't just take that.
And I think that's a good advice for anybody, whether injured or not, when you're dealing with medical professionals. You need to be an advocate for yourself. You need a partner in that process.
Right.
Agreed?
Absolutely. I mean, patients need to understand whether they have a heart condition or a foot condition or a back condition. You have to be your own advocate. You have to know the data of what it is. So if you're seeing a doctor, you have to be able to say, this was done. The more precise you can be, the more they can help you out. Because people think, well, just look it up on the computer. Well, our computer is different from another hospital's computer and different from another. So because of various laws, you can't just pull down any information.
That's a good point.
All right, let's talk to Frankie from Philadelphia. Hey, Frankie, welcome to Court Radio. Frankie.
There's the crickets.
There's the crickets. Oh, sorry,
crickets.
Frankie.
Our cricket sound means Frankie is sleeping.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we tried.
We tried, Frankie. Sorry. Get back in the queue.
Off to the trash can he goes. All right. Let's talk to Kenny from West Oak Lane. Hey.
How you guys doing today?
All right. We're doing great, Kenny. What's happening in West Oak Lane?
All right, I got a real quick question for you. I recently received a letter from a collection agency saying that I owed them $2,500. I investigated the letter, and it was from a credit card company that I felt like I had satisfied the debt. The reason why I felt like I satisfied the debt, because I never received any kind of correspondence from the credit card company saying that I owed them. And the debt was about a year or 2 years old. My question is, can I sue the original credit card company because they never sent me any correspondence saying that I owed the debt and that the other company tacked on all this overage to it?
Okay, here's the question. Under what circumstances would you sue the credit card company? Would you say, okay, I'm suing, let's say, ABC Credit Company. Would you sue them and say that they owe you $2,000 because that's what you're being sued for by the collection company?
No.
What would you sue them for?
What I really want to sue them for is all that overage that got tacked onto the bill, unless I find a bill because I'm in search of it, where I paid them off in full.
Okay. You wouldn't sue them per se, but if you get sued by the collection company, you can certainly join the credit card company in that suit as an additional defendant saying, I don't owe you, collection company. Credit card company owes you because I paid them, and so if you claim I owe you, you really should be getting it from them, not from me. So you have to wait to be sued in order to join them. That's the one way to do it. You can also give an explanation to the credit bureaus, the three major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, something like that. So you send them an explanation saying, hey, look, they're trying to collect the debt, but I don't owe it because I've already paid it, and here's my proof. That way you're protected. It won't affect your credit. And last but not least, you could, if you gave all those explanations to the collection agency, and they put something against your credit and they gave you some bad credit, there's something called a lawsuit for degradation of credit. So if your credit goes down for a reason that you believe is fraudulent or incorrect, and you've warned them and told them, you might still have a suit against the collection bureau. So there's a lot of ways to go about this, and I hope I've steered you in the right track a little bit, but you really need to get that proof. That's the key here.
But even if I don't get the proof, The company never even sent me anything saying that I owed them any money.
I don't know that they have to send you something saying that you, they owe you. If they if you owe them, you owe them.
If, in the slim chance that you do owe them this money, and I'm not saying you do and that you're lying about that, but if you do, one of the things you could do is call this collection agency and offer them that money without the overages, because they'll quite often accept something rather than nothing.
All right, we got to run. We're sorry to cut you short, but we're off, and I appreciate your call. Okay, Dr. Freed, nice to have you here, guy.
Thank you so much.
And young lady who's quiet over there?
I'm not quiet. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, you know, the Resource Center, Venus, is your bailiwick. So when folks, when you're at McGee, you go look up Venus in the Resource Center and tell her Dean sent you.
Amen to that.
All right. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a great week.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.